folks, and all my little cannolis out there, welcome to another episode of the Positude Podcast. I'm your host, Maggie R., coming to you yet on another cold, rainy, dreary day. We're supposed to be getting some warm weather. We had some slight indications of it there for like a day or two, and I had to go and put on long pants and socks because it got so cold. I'm recording on Saturday the 31st. I can't even believe tomorrow it's going to be June 1st, although temperatures are supposed to warm up here finally next week. I'm looking forward to that, but in the meantime, tonight is a really cool night, and it's a great night to huddle up together on the sofas, on the ottomans, on the floor, in your beanbag, wherever you're the most comfortable, and maybe grab a little snuggly blanket and a fluffy pillow and lean back and get your favorite beverage in hand because we're ready to start another week of conversing, of sharing, of hopefully learning, and just talking about how things are flowing. Before we get started, though, I want to do my question of the week because last week I ran out of time when I was recording and editing. So this week's question, what's your favorite song lyric and why? And if you're like me and love music as much as I do, then you'll have more than one. Since we started out with a musical question, I have three clippies for you that are musically related. And that, my friends, is what you call the flow because I had the clips prepared, but I just now pulled the card out of the deck for question of the week. I have several decks that I use for conversational topic type cards, and boom, first one I pull out is music. I'm like, geez, doesn't that fit? So I'm going to let that drive the direction of the show because I was going to start with politics, but hey, I'm going with the flow, and I hope you are too. This week has been a week of challenges, but it's also been a week of little blessings. And for anybody that's listened to me for years, they know that anytime I'm struggling with something, having issues with something, and like people are being mean to me or something like that, you know, or just being cruel, and like I can see right through their little facade, but they think they're fooling somebody and they're not. Inevitably, a gift will show up on my doorstep. So it was like somebody would leave like vegetables on my doorstep, or I got something in the mail. One time it was something from Ireland from one of my cousins who was over there visiting and didn't even tell me she was on vacation over there, but sent me a keychain, and get money in the mail. I'll get any number of types of different blessings. And this week I've been blessed several times already, keeping my vibe as high as I can. I'm staying positive and I'm trying to stay chill and even keel because that's where we need to be with the times that we're facing right now. We don't want to be in a state of panic and anxiety. We want to be cool, calm, and collected and confident in knowing that we have the ability to affect what it is that we want to see and what we want for ourselves. And as I've told you before, there are times and there are moments where I have to remind myself of those very same things. We've been speaking about this for years, but most especially the last 6 months, times are crazy this year. The energy is highs, lows, rapid fire highs, lows. It's like a roller coaster, right? So everybody's energy, the energies of the planet are up and down, up and down, up and down, rapid fire succession. And the healers and the teachers are most undoubtedly under still the hardest of the attacks. Like I also told you though, the manifestation is much quicker. The fruits of our labor we're able to see much more quickly than we had before. It's almost instantaneous at times. Let me explain. Better yet, let me give you some personal examples so that you'll have a gauge. Thankfully, I have a very strong support system that I'm able to vent to and talk to when I need to get it out. And I am so thankful and grateful for that. I'm able to use the tools that I have self-taught and that I utilize. Everything that I've told you and shown you about, I utilize myself. So I'm able to get back to balance and keep that even ground as much as possible. But we need to be able to get those pent-up emotions out. We need to come to resolution with them. We need to pray and meditate on those and get them out of our systems to get back to that even keel. If we keep everything bottled up inside, then it's like a volcano. It never goes away. And when we're able to live more in a state of evenness and grace, of course, we have less to worry about that way. We're able to filter with more perception and accuracy, and that is so important. We're being challenged. We're in the heat of the battle, and we're being tested. without question. And these are the times that we've been talking about for years. Here we are. So I had a lot of challenges this week, which I don't want to go into in detail on the air because I just don't feel like it. But my leg has been part of the issue too. I'm not able to do what I want to do because it's still healing. Although I didn't use the cane at all this week, and it's getting stronger by the minute, by the day, and I'm still the self-healing approach has been extremely successful, but I'm also learning patience based on the repercussions of the actions that I took, which culminated in the fall to begin with. And not that I needed to know this, but it's given me more affirmation as to the people around me in a pretty wide circle as to who is genuinely concerned for my well-being and who is taking things at face value and who is totally apathetic, which is okay. And I've had different people that I hadn't originally anticipated reach out to me, and in some cases repeatedly. And the ones that I knew wouldn't didn't, and the ones that I thought would, for the most part, did, but there were a couple instances there where I got radio silence, and that's okay. It's not about me or the ego, but it's teaching me again to cinch my belt tighter, and it's given me affirmation, and in some cases, new information as to who I can truly trust and depend on and who I can't. This is part of the process for what's coming in the time ahead, so I'm cool with it. For instance, I had a missed call from a family member last week that never calls me and I haven't heard from in at least a year and a half, 2 years, and that was only because we happened to be in the same room at the same time. And when I got the call, I texted back and said, "Hello, did you mean to call me? I have a missed call from you." Nothing. And then 2 nights ago, I got another missed call, and happened to be right by my phone, so I called right back, and I got the person on the line, and they were totally shocked because they got a new phone, and their contacts got screwed up, and they were thinking that they were reaching somebody else. When I called back, the initial introduction was greeting somebody else that I had no idea who it was. And I said, "No, this is so-and-so," and dead silence. I mean, they probably crapped their pants because they weren't expecting me to be on the other end of the line. However, I didn't dial the phone, right? So I said, not me. I said, "You called last week and I texted and never heard back from you." And it was kind of like, actually, the person got kind of snotty and said, "Well, that's because I thought you were so-and-so." Well, okay, so I'm giving you a message after you called my phone telling you that this is me and did you mean to call me? Not even the courtesy to text back and say, "Wow, you know, I'm really sorry. No, I meant to call someone else. Hey, by the way, how are you doing? It's been 2 years." Family member, 2 years, something like that. Yeah, nothing. So then after I said, "Look, well, I kind of thought you were maybe calling me, or maybe because you needed something, because the last time that you called me, it was because you needed my assistance in a personal matter. You needed me to do something for you." And you know what? I spent several hours working on that issue and offering even more help. And as soon as the issue was resolved, I got nothing. A couple years ago, or a year ago. So, you know, it's par for the course and I expected it. Blood is not always family. People will use you and abuse you and take advantage of you. And once they get what they want, you never hear from them again. And that was another one of these cases. But oh my goodness, when the phone dialed me back a second time in a week and we actually had to speak, it was so incredibly awkward. Not for me, because I had nothing to be ashamed of. I hadn't done anything wrong. But I was curious, you know, hey, maybe are they going to ask, "How are you? What's going on?" Nope, nothing. Nothing. "Oh, I thought you were so-and-so." Well, no. And I thought when you called me last week, and then I got the nasty response, and then I was like, okay. So now the phone goes totally silent, almost like they've put it on mute. And that's what I felt. Like they were in a poor range area to a degree, but they also put it on mute and probably pissing themselves. But I was just like, okay. And I just said, "Well, hello, hello. I guess you're not talking to me anymore." And I just simply hung up the phone and let it go. When you don't have any expectations, you can't be disappointed. And when you consider the source, I was raised entirely in a different manner. I wouldn't have conducted myself that way. I would have been more congenial, at least, at the very least, apologetic, but that's just me. Not everybody rolls the way that I do. If the person had responded, because I'm sure there were people in the background that they were relaying, oh my God, I called her by accident. If they had responded, I would have been the better person and taken the first steps. Hey, how are you doing anyway? What's going on? Is everything okay? And then just let it drop. Had they called me to ask another favor, this time there would have been a bill involved, because right after the last instance, I got a text from another one of their immediate family members asking me if I could give them free guidance. It's like there's no end to it. It's just like a client gone rogue. When you don't value yourself and you don't put a price tag sometimes on things, people take advantage, or just because you're related, they think they can take advantage, or just because they have a high ego, they can take you for granted or assume that you're going to do certain things when there's absolutely no reason to feel that way, especially in an instance where I've always been the giver. And that's probably where I set my own pattern. I was always the giver and I never or very seldom got anything in return. And that wasn't what it was about, though. Like, I was doing things out of the goodness and the kindness of my heart. However, it would have been nice to have some sort of recompensation, even if it be in the manner of, why don't you come for dinner one night, or, you know, let me spend some time with you. Let's get together and have coffee in a social setting, totally irrespective and separate from the situation that you assisted me with, basically acting like a human being. But some people just are too egotistical or self-driven and selfish and just in some cases don't have the couth. And so you have to kind of take all of that into consideration and just let it go. But as a result, I was blessed in so many other ways this week. And I've learned a long time ago not to set precedents like that anymore, irregardless of having to live by, let's call it, the Jesus principle, where we're supposed to give and give and give and do and do and do and expect nothing in return. One of the things that I think was changed or left out of the Bible is there needs to be some sort of energy exchange, because all of what we do, everything that we encounter, everything that we're engrossed in, everything that we're encapsulated by, and in fact, what we're made of is energy. Now, before you jump the gun and think that I'm being mercenary in my outlook on this, let me explain a bit farther. If it were the case of a severe illness, an immediate emergency, a person that was grossly overtaken by negative spiritual entities, either in the way of attachment or possession, that's a different animal. That's something that, yeah, we're called to do this. We're called to help and heal and do everything that we can to help our fellow man. And actually, the Bible does give instances, if you look at it from kind of a different perspective, of an energetic exchange between Jesus and the people that he healed, because they were thankful, they were grateful, and they came to his way of thinking. Right? And that love that was poured out on him, that thankfulness, that gratitude, that appreciation, all of those positive, wonderful feelings were an energy exchange. So there's that. But the other thing is, when I'm referring to this type of situation, I'm talking about the proverbial paper cut on the finger, where something could ostensibly turn into, any minor cut could turn into a major infection. Right? Just, it could happen. And down the line, it could be something that were more dangerous of a situation. But at the start, at the inception of somebody contacting me, I'm talking about the mostly day-to-day issues that they need help with. And it's nothing life-threatening. And if there's a potential for some danger to be involved down the line, it's not something that we couldn't have taken into consideration. And I could have gone ahead and gone through the steps that needed to, let's say, heal that person or someone that they knew if they needed healing. That's not what I'm saying. So I hope that that clarifies for you a little bit, but there always does need to be an energy exchange. So even a, oh my gosh, let me energetically send love and gratefulness to that, or thankfulness to that person, or joy that the situation was resolved, and having that person rather encompass that joy inside of themselves, and it changes their DNA and their dynamics to now where they're going to want to pay it forward. They're going to want to help somebody else, or they're going to see the errors of their ways that brought that danger, possibly, let's say, if in the case of a negative entity, into them or into their family or into their household, into their genetic line. Let's think about generational curses. Let's think about how, as young adults, we've brought things into our home and into our energetic bodies, into our temple, that very realistically could have, and maybe in some instances has, affected our children, playing with a Ouija board, stuff like that, you know? So it's all a matter of energy, and it's all a circle. And it depends on how we choose to handle these things as to how far we're going to make it ahead of the game. So as a result, I had been focusing my energy on finding someone that would be a good fit for me professionally, that would help me to achieve some of the things that I've wanted to achieve for a very long time and put off, for mostly reasons like the one that I was just telling you about. You know, everybody else always needed something, and I put my needs to the side, and I found that person this week. And she's promised to help me do all of the things that I've wanted to do for a really long time. And there was definitely like a soul connection there. I've made, in the essence of letting someone go that wasn't conducive to my circle, I've brought someone in now that can be extremely beneficial to my circle. And in exchange, I can do things for her that will benefit her. And so you've got that circuit completion. And it's not a what have you done for me, so I have to do something for you. Although the example of the case that I was telling you about before was absolutely a matter of what have you done for me lately, because there are a good percentage of people that are quote unquote blood related that what have you done for me lately. In fact, just not even 2 months ago, I had a similar phone call from another family member who wanted something, found out the information, never heard anything again from. Imagine that. So it's okay though, and it's all a learning process. But not only was I blessed beyond my wildest expectations about that contact and the phone call that I made with this new person who's a professional person, I also had to stop somewhere, but I was very blessed in that encounter. And in turn, I took that encounter and was able to bless a local organization indirectly by putting that person that I met happenstance that gave me some blessings in touch with some people where it's an organization that does a lot for the community and for animals, where she's got a lot of stuff that she wants to get rid of, and I suggested that she give it to that organization because they really need it and they do a lot for the community. And then in turn, as a result of that energy exchange, because I did what I did, I feel I was able to get pretty significant monetary blessing that came sort of out of the blue. And also, in addition to that, I turned around and I gave that person an extra $50, $60 worth of merchandise non-gratis as a thank you and as a blessing back to them. And as a result of that, not an hour later, I stopped somewhere else running an errand and was blessed with three trivial things, but things that I was looking for that I needed that were given to me for nothing. Just here, take it. And also, because of my leg, I've been looking all week for a body pillow. An instant manifestation. I went to the store the other day and there were like three things that I was looking for. And I happened to find a like totally brand new body pillow for $1. And it wasn't something that I wanted to spend a lot of money on because I don't need it long term. And I can't anticipate myself ever needing a body pillow again, unless I injure my leg again, which I don't see happening. So it was just something I needed for like another week or so because I'm tired of laying on my back and I wanted to lay on my side again, which is how I normally sleep. And yeah, picked up almost a brand new body pillow. I saw it in my mind before I left. I'm like, okay, I need to find these three things today. And I found all three things that I needed in the course of my travels. Instant manifestation for next to no money. I also also made an additional professional contact, although that's more on a personal level for some personal things that I'm doing as opposed to my business, which I had talked to her several times on the phone, but I was able to actually shake her hand and meet her in person and solidify that bond too, so that we got a look at each other and we have a feel for each other's energy. And she knows that I'm on the up and up, and you know, I got to touch her and feel her energy and feel that she's exactly what I thought that she was. She's a good person and she'll do right by me, which is what I need right now for that situation. So I can trust her and I know that. So people are brought into, and if we pay attention, given reason to or leave our lives for a reason at particular times. And finally, aside from all of that, I got a present in the mail that I didn't order and I didn't pay for. And I don't have to pay it back. I had ordered something as a gift for somebody, and 3 days later, the same gift arrived from a different shipper, and they're like, don't worry about it, just keep both. That's an example of how energy works when you go with the flow and spread the positive things, the good things. I mean, seriously, 6 things this week that I manifested, and 5 of them were virtually free, 2 at super low cost, like $1. And then I got a free gift in the mail besides, and made invaluable contacts, all while spreading good things and networking with others who can help each other to be blessed. And for being open to Father, Jesus, the universe, whatever your belief structure is, over and throughout the years, that when I receive something unexpectedly, to be aware of the fact that it was a blessing and be thankful for it and know inherently that it always, the timing was impeccable. It was always very shortly after somebody had done something either rude or mean or hurtful toward me. And to me, they always were affirmations that the hurts and the disappointments were trivialities in comparison to the blessings that I was being given on a much higher level, and that the work that I was doing was infinitesimally more important than even I maybe had the capacity to recognize. And it was all because I was doing it based on the guidance, intuition, and gifts that were bestowed upon me to serve a higher purpose. And so the recognition and thankfulness that resulted from the deeds that I had performed needed to be given wholly to the source that allowed me to perform them. And whenever and wherever I could, I just did what I needed to do and just didn't say anything to anybody about it, because I just didn't want the attention drawn on me. That wasn't what it was about. In a sense, we're just pipelines for that energy to go through, conduits on this massively interconnected motherboard of sorts, where we each have functions to perform and duties to fulfill, and we're all interconnected like a ripple in a pond. If a section of the board shorts out, the connectivity is interrupted, whereas if everything's working smoothly and functionally and together as a whole, everything's golden. So maybe some of our roles is to be the soldering iron or the spark plug in the engine, if you want to look at it that way. Whatever and however we choose to see ourselves, individually, we all form and serve a purpose that makes the whole work smoothly collectively. It's Clippy time, and it's music Clippy time to start. In the first one, Gene Simmons of Kiss meets the guy that liberated his mom, or whose unit liberated his mom from the concentration camp that she was imprisoned at. And then an older one that I played before a long time ago on my shows with David Bowie talking to Dick Cavett about Black Noise.
You're a guy I meet, huh? I just work here.
It's wonderful to see you.
Well, good to see you.
Glad I can expect an admiration.
Our division is made up of many battalions. I was in one to weapons division from aircraft.
Okay, but my mother was 14 years of age. That's after our entire family was wiped out of the gas chambers and tortured and all that. And were it not for, were it not for brave men like you, I wouldn't be here. My mother wouldn't have been here. Millions and millions of people wouldn't be here. Even with the millions that were incinerated, I can't say enough about this.
We'll be right back. boys.
Black Moors?
Yeah.
Black Moors is something that Barrow's got very interested in. It's one facet of Black Moors is that everything black it lasts from phonocracy hits a particular note. The vibrations are better, the metabolism of the glass and cracks.
Yeah.
So a black noise is the register within which you can crack a city or people, or it's a new controlled bomb. It's a noise bomb, in fact, which can destroy.
Is it a real thing?
It's invented in France.
Could a tyrant use it to...
Until last year, you could buy the patent for it in the French patent office for about equivalent to $3-4.
And it would wipe out
depends how much money you put into it. I mean, a small one could probably kill a half the people in, but a big one could destroy a city of oil, and even more.
This is a weird idea.
That's not my idea.
What's that
give? Next, let's listen to Madonna brag about how she's still around. Why is she still around? Because she's a witch. I've actually looked into a majority of the deaths that she speaks about, and what I got was they wouldn't buy into the system and wouldn't play the game, and that's why they're not here anymore. Or they were going to talk.
Michael is gone, Tupac is gone, Prince is gone, Whitney is gone, Amy Winehouse is gone, David Bowie is gone, but I'm still standing.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, holy water.
Next up, a drama-seeking reporter asks a silly question.
Army Major was reportedly drugged and bitten by strippers in Poland. Will that affect the U.S. military's footprint in that country? It is a major story, and it happened in Gdansk.
Jeff, I don't know anything about that story. I'll have a look at it. I'm not going to take that question. But
please take that.
Jeff, no. Jeff, just let me state clearly we have a strong military relationship with Poland.
And teachers need to go back to school to learn about good judgment, but oh wait, who's going to teach them?
So let me get this straight. Teachers are now arming themselves to fight ICE, but somehow arming themselves to protect students from school shooters was a step too far. Got it.
I think it's crazy that we have anger management, but we don't have stupidity management. I can't be mad, but you get to be dumb. That's very unfair.
It's kind of like I saw this on a Gen X Talks meme and I had to share it. It's Columbo, a picture of Columbo, and it says, so let me get this straight. I go to the grocery store and buy a pound of sliced ham in a plastic bag, a loaf of bread in a plastic bag, a gallon of milk in a plastic jug, a pack of napkins in plastic wrap, a store-made salad in a plastic tub, a plastic bottle of mustard and ketchup. But they won't give me a plastic bag to carry it home because the plastic bag is bad for the environment. But guess what? Cannolis come in a cardboard box with colored twine. That part I take credit for, not giving that one to Columbo. Next, let's listen to D. Martin, courtesy of Jake GTV.
Well, the translators are gone and the live stream is waning, which means that if we just listen to my colleague Matthias, the best thing in the world would be to leave it to you, the people. Now it's up to you to share what clearly, based on the cavernous emptiness we see in all of these spaces, is only going to be heard if you share it. So it feels very appropriate that I should be the one with the quietest voice. But let's let that lion roar, shall we? I'm done talking about COVID, and I'm done talking about SARS-CoV-2, and I'm done for a very simple reason. For 110 years, we the people of the world have been lied to. We're a group of very small number of criminal industrial conspirators decided to subordinate the entirety of the human population for the purpose of their sinister plans to enrich themselves while impoverishing and killing the rest of humanity. And I'm done being polite. We've long passed polite. When the words acceptable death rate become part of an industrial norm, we have lost the plot of humanity. And that's not my words. Those were the words of the World Health Organization and of Pfizer and of Moderna when they were given the authorization to begin the process of killing human beings in the interest of advancing their goals. Next slide. And I'm also not going to sugarcoat this. This is a criminal cartel. We are acting as though there's some sort of redeemable quality somewhere in some esoteric layer that somehow or another the World Health Organization must have some salutatory benefit. Well, I'm going to tell you, since its formation in the 1940s, the World Health Organization has been nothing more than a criminal cartel that has a sole and singular intent. And I will show you the document that proves what I'm saying. This is not an allegation. This is actually provable by their own words in their own hand. And they use a four-step process to execute every one of their nefarious plans. They begin by planning an exercise, then they go to the business of funding that exercise, then they create the rationale for the thing that they're going to do, and then they deploy and profit from it. And in violation of 15 U.S. Code Section 19, which...
And Glenn Beck is warning everybody to get out of Washington State. Chris Ann Hall is sounding the alarm on Victory News because TSA's PreCheck Global Entry and PreCheck grants unrestricted, warrantless access to people's, all of their personal data.
I think that allowing for the book being, after all, a parody... Something like 1984 could actually happen. This is the direction the world is going in at the present time.
If you're living in Washington State, may I just say, get the hell out now. I've said
that... The entire state?
The entire state. Get out of the state.
Wow.
And I'm dead serious on that. You're living in a state that has gone absolutely insane. First of all, we talked about this before, and nobody's really talking about this. The medical thing that they just passed in Washington State, and they passed it, and the governor has signed it. And basically it says, if there's a medical emergency, we can do whatever we want to you. Now remember, this is the state that was talking about building like little internment camps for people who wouldn't get vaccinated last time, okay? They were talking about that. If you think that they won't do that, you're out of your mind. You're crazy. And so it says, if the governor decides that there's a medical emergency, a statewide emergency, that the state, based on, I love this one, based on scientific experts, they will dictate what happens to every individual. What you have to get, if scientific experts tell you, you have to take this, you will be forced to take that. I'm not having my kids in that state. I'm not living in that state.
All right, now you posted on @RealKHall that people who've signed up for the speedier passage through TSA have also waived a very important right. What have they signed away?
So when individuals enroll in TSA PreCheck or Global Entry, they actually sign a release granting the Department of Homeland Security and the FBI unrestricted, warrantless access to all their personal data. Health records, physical, mental, social media, communications, court history, anything they want, they have access indefinitely. And this sweeping surrender of privacy is in the fine print few people ever really read. So the people end up giving up their permanent rights, or their rights permanently, for the convenience of maybe a little bit faster time in line.
And just when you thought our invasion of privacy couldn't get any worse, Toilet Time TV turns us on, no pun intended, of course, to the Amazon's Sidewalk network.
Amazon announced its new Sidewalk wireless network will be open to all developers to interact in their network. All Amazon devices, your Echo, your Ring, whatever you have, pushes out a wireless frequency. Some of these developers have IoT devices, and they jumped on this Sidewalk network, and they went out to the woods in South Carolina. They still had connectivity to this network. See, that might sound like nothing right now, but think about it. All those people who thought they could go out off the grid and go off network, and they couldn't find you. this sidewalk network from Amazon is going to detect everybody. It has over 90% coverage already over the whole United States. So, your smartphone, your smartwatch. The FDA now has to put out new warnings on medical devices because of this. We'll get into that in a minute. But everywhere you go now, you're going to be able to be tracked, and Amazon is going to get data. You know all of your devices are connected to Wi-Fi. But see, when the sidewalk network is activated, even though you don't have internet because you decided I ain't paying, I don't want to give Amazon no more data, Amazon's automatically going to continue gathering data because it's just going to steal the internet from your neighbor's house. And it does this to everybody's house, and it creates this mesh network. So the more people that have these Amazon devices, this is how they spread their network. And that's why they want you to buy these Ring devices, these Roombas, these smartphones, smartwatches, Fire television, all these devices steals your internet and then sends that internet to its other devices to make sure that everybody is connected to the Amazon network.
The moral to be drawn from this dangerous nightmare situation is a simple one. Don't let it happen. It depends on you.
Since we're talking about spying, let's listen to this comedic Airbnb nightmare.
Yeah? Excuse me. Yeah.
You're the people that I lent the house to, right?
Yeah.
You're all there.
Yeah. Who are you?
I own the house. I'm Richard.
What are you doing? Walbenwick, yeah? Is that a book?
I was thinking about going and having a shower now.
Where's your trousers?
If it's not inconvenient right now, I'd like to use
the bathroom. Excuse me, mate. We've rented this house from you.
Yeah. Yeah, well, any problems?
No, there's no problems, mate.
Are you happy with the house?
Well, yeah, I'm happy with the house, but, like, what are you doing here?
I live here. Look.
Okay, but, like, what are you doing, mate? Where's my privacy?
No, if you remember correctly, I said it's a 3-bedroom house, 2 receptions, kitchen, bathroom. That's what you got. That's what you're renting.
Okay.
I'm locking myself away here. I'm not going to get under your feet. You might have noticed, actually, that because I bring all my plates out off the top, use the kitchen. But,
so hold them in here, yeah? Whilst we're sleeping, yeah? You're going out in the kitchen.
Yeah, well, I've got to put my dirty plates out there.
What, are you just in a jail in there? Where's your clothes gone? Where's your clothes?
They're in the washing machine. Put the stuff in the washing machine. I hope you don't mind.
But it's a bit weird. What's happening? What's happening here?
Look, this should be no problem. I'm not going to interfere with you.
But you're interfering with me now.
No. This is unfortunate. I do all this at night. And, you might have noticed after midnight, there might be a bit of creaking on the stairs because it's me using the toilet. I was just sitting in there and I think you hit the air out.
Do you want to shut up? Well, are we? But I'm not out. Yeah, everyone else is gone. I'm here.
Well, I
told them in here, so, like, what are we renting the house for then? You're still here.
No, you've got the use of the house. You've got the house.
But, like, you're there in, like, your little lair.
You've got the kitchen. Oh, yes.
What do you mean, yeah?
Absolutely.
What do you mean, absolutely?
This is my little dungeon. I call it my dungeon. Listen.
How many people have you got in there?
Oh, no, it's just me.
Don't be scared. I just think somebody owes us an explanation, that's all. Come on.
My pappy used to say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But if it is broke, get a hold of Maggie Hart at @MAGGIE_HEART at outlook.com to get it fixed.
So there's a lot of speculation flying around as to why Elon Musk really left Doge, and I have a couple of clips with a couple of different perspectives as to why. Was his job done? Was his life threatened? Or did he go in and fix all of the stuff against him and stack the deck and now he's out? Did he and Trump have enough of each other? What's your opinion?
Keep it warm in your love, then you softly leave. And it's me you need to show.
How deep is your doge? Your doge, how deep is your doge?
It's more than just insider trading. Like the insider trading stuff, like the stock portfolio stuff is quite trackable, but there's, it's a lot more than insider trading.
The way they're acquiring wealth.
Correct.
And what other methods?
I mean, this is really going to get me assassinated. It's like, I'm not lengthening my lifespan by explaining this stuff, to say the least. I mean, I was supposed to go back to D.C. How am I going to survive? This is going to kill me for sure. In fact, I do think, like, I actually have to be careful that I don't push too hard on the corruption stuff, because it's going to get me killed. I was actually thinking about that on the plane flight over here. It's like, if I push too hard on the corruption stuff, people get desperate.
We said it wouldn't last long, so hours after Musk says he's disappointed in Trump's tax spending bill, old Elon and Trump are now parting ways. But that's not what this video is about, though. Do you think that billionaire care about being laid off from the Trump administration? I'm going to show you why he already got his return on investment. Doge was never about efficiency, and we have a graph here that illustrates how it wasn't. Here's how Elon Musk had direct business tie interest to 70%, yes, 70% of the government's agencies that was targeted by Doge. Government agencies from the ones that do environment, to the ones that do energy, to the ones that do defense and agriculture. If you decided to investigate or try to regulate any of Elon Musk's business desires or interests, your ass got targeted by Doge. And I hate to say it, but I kind of agree with Elon Musk. That big, beautiful spending bill, and of course the reasons why I disagree with the bill, Elon probably disagree with those too. But what's buried in the big, bogus, beautiful bill right here, I wouldn't call it beautiful, I would just call it bogus. This man can now delay a council elections legally. He can also ignore Supreme Court rulings a year or more. He can fire government workers for not being politically loyal to him. He can make sure judges can't enforce their own orders. He can make sure protesters can be tracked and criminalized. He makes sure that LGBTQ rights, education, healthcare, and media is gutted. Your VPN? Tracked. Your vote? Suppressed. Your speech? Flagged. The bill doesn't break the law. It literally rewrites the law for Trump to be able to do whatever he wants to do to wit's end. Wasn't the George Orwellian? These folks got 1,100 pages dressed up as freedom. Meanwhile, they are robbing us of ours and taking all the money that we have to survive while they're taking the freedom. For the people in the back, if you've ever said it won't be that bad or the courts will stop them, just know this bill makes it so they can't stop him, and it will be that damn bad. We knew this bromance wouldn't last long.
That first clip was Elon on Joe Rogan, the second from The Conscious Lee. My last clip in the Elon hat trick is where he totally wrecks the New York Times.
Media organizations in this room were the slingers.
Well, so, there is a New York Times report today that accuses you of blurring the line between...
Is New York Times, is that the same publication that... got a Pulitzer Prize for false reporting on the Russiagate. Is it the same organization?
I think
the judge just ruled against New York Times for their lies about the Russiagate hoax, and that they might have to give back that Pulitzer Prize. That New York Times? Let's move on.
Okay.
Next question.
Keep me warm in your love, then you softly.
How deep is your doge? Your doge, how deep is your doge? Somebody needs to check into this next lady who's getting a free ride off the government, food and rent, and bragging about how she's abusing the system.
Truth is, y'all hating on me because I live rent-free and I can afford the luxuries that y'all dream about for me and my kids. I'm going to continue to buy my luxury bags while the government pay my rent. I'm going to continue to go go on trips and do the things that me and my kids love to do while y'all struggle to pay for a grocery bill and I'm swiping my EBT card.
And a no good loser like you, you bum!
And Monarch Hunting Products has a sneaking suspicion that a citizen is using his, I'm assuming, duck blinds for his own vigilante justice.
I can't confirm or deny what I'm about to tell you, and I'm not real sure I agree with it. But I had a South Texas rancher show up at the shop today needing some blinds. If thug life was ever redneck, this was a man. I got the feeling this man goes to jail for vacation. He walked in, I tried to lay down a good first impression, he wasn't having none of it. Man talking about, I need two of them, load them up now, I got a ride. I was like, okay, where's your leaves? I own deer hunt. All right, must have a bad hog problem. Nope, not that either. And I'm trying to think to myself, what in the world is this, is he sightseeing? Man told me to quit talking so much and get him loaded up, he had to haul him back to the border. At that point, I'm too deep. I got to know. So I said, man, I'm sorry, but I what are you going to do with these blinds? He pulled his glasses off, and he looked at me, and he said, son, let's just say I like to play with the cartel and backhoes. As soon as it came out of his mouth, first thing I thought was, I'm going to jail, accessory. He said, son, I suggest you quit asking so many questions, or you and I are going to have a long vacation in federal. I think the man's down there using my blinds to hunt the cartel. I might need to get a lawyer.
FBI, open up!
We're making duck calls while our senile uncle is threatening everybody with a taser.
Hey, it ain't like I'm going to hurt anybody with it, unless I intend to.
So I just want to make it perfectly clear that I no longer have guns in my home. They identify as hammers and wrenches.
We've talked a lot before about hidden technology and Tartaria on previous shows. Listen to the archives. I am on Rumble. I'm on Spotify. I'm on Amazon Music, iHeart Podcasts. I'm on YouTube. I think I'm on Mixler, Podbean, and there are others that I can never remember. But if you're listening to me, you're listening to me Tuesday nights at 10 on ERRT Radio, Wednesday nights at 9 on the Varia Radio Network, and 5 or so other nights during the week at the 9 o'clock time spot. You'll hear my repeat shows, the archives, and I'm on Friday nights 8 o'clock. These are all Eastern Standard on Trim Radio Network. Here is another clip about the Eiffel Tower being an energy antenna. Clip was from Whispers of Truth. The next one's from Kimber Kiss Cosmic Queen talking about the new movie Fountain of Life and how they're using cymatics in the movie.
In this clip of the Fountain of Youth, they're trying to figure out how to move this giant rock. And this kid over here saw that there's like a bell right there. And he's putting it together and just watch. Back to frequencies and ancient technologies, and the buildings of back then were not just buildings. Those are hand pans. And these columns are like pipes of an organ. The entire building is an instrument. Look at that. It's like a trombone. And there's the cymatics. Now they're going to start seeing something change because of the frequencies. And literally, the entire building is connected. This is from The Fountain of Youth. It's a movie that just came out. And here you can see they're going to activate the negating frequency of gravity. Watch this. Again, frequencies have been used to levitate giant rocks. And yes, I know this is a movie, but we're going to keep going. Let's pretend it's a documentary. Okay, so here, he's using different sounds, and she's going to use this bell. You can see the patterns appearing because of the cymatics. That's the cymatics of the sound right here. And once she does this, sand is levitating. The entire building is vibrating. They probably have time traveled. They just don't know it. And they've activated it. This entire thing is levitating. Look at that. It looks like science fiction, but we actually do this. Cymatics is the ability to make sand move from the vibration of the plates. Interesting. All right, gonna keep watching the movie. Fountain of Youth.
So we know that they tell us the truth in movies and music. This is just more evidence that sound healing and sound technology are very real. I encourage everybody to do your research and start playing with things like tuning forks and singing bowls and bells. What if our churches and all of the bells that they've destroyed were actually healing centers and or energy transmitters? So last week, Memorial Day weekend, I took the weekend off. I played the clip with Gene Simmons honoring some of our veterans, but I hope that everybody had a blessed Memorial Day and kept in their hearts and minds the reason that we celebrate that holiday and all of the people that gave their lives for our country and our freedom. The next clip I want to play for you is regarding some more of America's unsung heroes, our firefighters.
Firefighters, ripped, sweaty heroes who slide down poles for cash. It's the only profession where you can get half naked for a calendar to help charity and still be considered a public servant. They're in essence government-funded strippers, only instead of dollar bills, we throw burning buildings at them. They show up every time barreling through the streets at mock Jesus. These lunatics are the only people legally allowed to launch through your walls, flood your house, chop your roof in half, and still get a handshake on the way out. Only because you were dumb enough to put out a grease fire with water. They'll bust through your front door like the Kool-Aid man, haul your 400 pounds over their shoulder, kiss a baby mid-rescue, and sprint back out while flames explode behind them like the final scene in a Jackass movie. If your car is wrapped around a tree, they'll rip it open like a drunk uncle trying to get into a bag of chips at 2 a.m. If you're stuck in a flood, they'll swim through debris, pull you out, and go back for your cat without so much as a single mustache hair straying from its place. If your head gets stuck in a fence, they'll pry you free from your own stupidity and do their best not to laugh until they're back at the station. When they arrive to the firehouse after punching death in the face, they emotionally bond through trauma, verbally assaulting one another, and chili cook-off spicy enough to burn the hair from your... So here's to firefighters. The axe-swinging, siren-screaming, door-smashing warlords of destruction and salvation who keep us alive despite our best efforts to Uber ourselves into the afterlife in the dumbest ways possible.
That was from Fire and Iron Jazz, and it's Gen X time.
So, finally, some good news. Here we go.
San Francisco high schools will be trying a new approach to education called grading for equity. It now changes the grade threshold to 41% being a C, a passing grade.
So, yeah, under this plan, Fs would become Cs, Bs would become As, and you could get as low as a 21% and still pass the class. But that's not the good news. The good news? Liberals and conservatives alike, parents and teachers and administrators, from California to New York, Florida, Texas, anywhere anyone heard this plan, except for the guy that thought it up, I guess, they all agreed. This was insanity. Those of us who remembered when grading looked more like this, and was at least in part subjective, and by subjective, I mean if the teacher liked you, you did a little better, and if she didn't, yeah, you did a little worse. But we all knew that's the way it was because, and say it with us now,
life isn't always fair.
Life's not fair. Really stupid plan. Really stupid idea. At least in my opinion. And if yours is different, that's okay. But for the most part, most people finally found something to agree on. And for me, at least it's a start.
You realize that we are the last generation on Earth that knows what life was like before social media. Back then, moments were just moments. Simple, fleeting, and hours alone. We lived them without worrying about angles or likes. The conversation wasn't about notifications. It was about voices, laughter, and silences that didn't feel awkward. There was something raw about that world, a beauty and its imperfection. If you got lost, you asked a stranger for directions, not a screen. If you wanted connection, you knocked on a friend's door. Instead of sending a quick message, that could be read and ignored. Now, everything feels different. The world is louder, but somehow lonelier. We scroll endlessly, looking for meaning. But do we even notice the things we're passing by? Memories don't feel as real. When you're too busy capturing them to actually live them, I sometimes wonder what we've traded away and what will be left for the ones who come after us. Who will never know that it meant to just be untouched by the weight of this constant digital presence. Do you realize it too? That we're the last ones who knew how to live. Before we started performing our lives for everyone else.
Guys like us, we had it made. Those were the days.
And you knew where you were then.
Girls were girls and men were men.
So we got lucky and got to hear music from Lindsey Buckingham, Kiss, and Carol O'Connor and Gene Stapleton. Those last two clips were from Gen X Jono and Big Chris 901. The entry music, sometimes my halftime music, and the ending music are all provided by my good buddy Pat Carr, a wonderful original musician from Louisiana, now residing in Colorado. You can check him out at http://www.itunes.com/Pat Carr. Pat's at AllMusic, Apple Music, YouTube, SoundClick, Spotify, Google Play, iTunes. He is all over the place. Please check him out, support his music, and tell him Maggie sent you. I actually just got an email from Pat roundabout last week, and he has a new website I'm hoping to make a new promo for and share with you in the near future. I hope everybody had as much of a good time as I did this week. As busy as I know that you are, please take some time for yourselves to rest, rejuvenate, and stay calm. Balance your energies, ground in nature, take care of yourselves and each other. Thank you all so much for listening. It's been a pleasure, as always, spending this hour with you this week. Next week, we're going to feature some inventions from people who have discovered new ways to give us free energy and to power our vehicles and to build our homes.
If you like Maggie and the sound of her voice and want to keep her airing quality shows, I'd be much obliged if you donate to the network, because those folks are dirt poor and rely on your contributions to keep the lights on. Bless their hearts and yours too.
Hey, psst. We are built for success. We might be programmed for failure, but we're built for success. I wish I knew who said that, but change your programming and change your life. Thanks everybody for listening. We'll see you all next week. Good night.